B-Pod Studios.
Good Thursday morning to you.
Thirsty? Why so thirsty?
Thirsty, brother.
Good Thursday morning.
So thirsty.
You're so thirsty right now.
God, I'm so thirsty.
Thirsty Thursday.
Today on Thirsty Thursday.
You're a thirsty bitch.
If we had an HR department, you would be in trouble right now.
I know.
What? Thirsty.
Let's get the show on the road.
80s and more. 105.7 WROR.
Here's Lauren and Wally.
Well, good morning and welcome to Thursday morning here on the Lauren and Wally Morning Show. Hank's not a happy camper this morning.
Oh, boy.
Okay, but Bruins lose in overtime.
That was a
night.
Tough one. They got outplayed. It was like the reverse of the other night. You know, they did okay in the first period, and then they were dominated for two periods. The Blues, they're big and they're strong, and they beat the Bruins up last night.
There you go.
Bummer.
But we're in the Stanley Cup Finals, which is good.
That's true. Bummer.
That's good. Bummer. Bummer. I'm sorry, guys. I woke up this morning, and I was like, let's see if I was going to be in a good mood today. And then I realized that Hank was not going to be an optimum level mood. But you're fine. You seem okay.
You know what? I watched the game in Kennebunkport, Maine with my dad last night. I get up. I drove back this morning. It was a nice. I had an hour and a half ride. I was able to
process
work it. Work
yes,
it out.
Process
good
it.
For you.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
That's good.
I hate staying awake for a loss.
Oh, I know.
That's the problem.
I know.
Okay. Like well, stuff we got coming up on the program today. We will discuss this with Bob Ryan at 7:25 this morning, and then at 7:45 we have your dirty laundry update.
Yes, we're going to talk about Alex Trebek and good news, and we have an update on the Jeopardy James. I also want to talk at some point today. I would title it. What is biting me? Because I went outside once this weekend, and I don't know what's happening to my ankles because they're itching so bad. I'm losing my mind right now.
What if you have poison ivy? You're barefoot in
right
the studio.
Now.
What if you have poison ivy?
Are you allergic to poison ivy?
I don't know. I've knock on wood, never had it. So I got to figure this out.
Be the day. You're making me itchy. You're itching so much.
I'm wow. Sorry. Wow.
So it's also good news if you have a foot fetish because we'll post pictures of LBS feet.
Yep.
See if you can tell what's biting
her. What's biting
her? You're spreading fungus in the studio.
What does spreading fungus?
Oh, how do you know?
What does she have?
I have like bug bites on my ankles.
Are they bumpy?
They're just itchy.
Just
they're
itchy.
So
okay.
Itchy.
Let me see. We got the Ashton Kutcher murder story. Wow. This
really?
Is really strange. Let me see. When the report this morning on when you know you have too much money, we'll share that with you this morning. Here.
I will not be doing that report.
And all of this is coming up this morning right here on the Lauren and Wally Morning Show.
80s and more. 105.7 WROR. This is the Lauren and Wally Show.
This is a special investigation.
Yeah.
What's eating LBF?
So, you know what? This is what I get for going outside.
Yeah.
This is exactly why I do not go outside on the regs. And it was a beautiful weekend, and we were doing lots of fun things outside. And I was walking in the grass with bare feet, and I was doing fun things. And now I have bug bites all over my ankles and feet. Yeah. And it's making me crazy because it is so itchy.
Was Dave with you?
Yes.
Was Dave barefoot?
No. Although he was at one point, but he's not barefoot because we call him Puss in Boots. He has very sensitive feet.
Right. Oh, too much information.
Oh, wow,
way too much information. Okay,
is it weepy at all on your foot?
Oh, okay. Hank, don't make it gross.
Well, it could be poison
it's
ivy.
Not poison ivy. Okay, it's bug bites.
It's bug. You're pretty sure it's bug bites. Huh?
Sure seems like it. Does. It has,
yeah, I've seen poison ivy. In fact, poison my friend Lisa has poison ivy, and she showed it to me this weekend.
Really? Did she rub it on your legs?
No, she did not.
So she's got the weepy feet.
So,
okay.
Yeah, she's got it.
Okay, we know it is summer, so we've already ruled out shark bite.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
It's
not a shark bite.
Definitely not a shark bite.
No, but like, it's crazy because you don't see them, whatever's biting. I know I have a mosquito bite on my knee because it's easily identified and it's a lone bug bite, you know?
But these are like little specks all over. Right. Yeah. Okay. So we've taken some photographs here, and we're gonna post these. And
I don't think you should be barefoot any longer in here. What if we catch something?
You're not going to catch anything. It's a bug, Hank. So, and plus, you've got your Crocs to protect you, as those nothing goes near those, especially women.
It could possibly be a no-see-um.
Oh, maybe.
Oh, yeah, no-see-ums.
Do they bite?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you're kidding me. And do they come from the grass?
And they can be incredibly itchy.
Oh, maybe that's
sounds
it.
Like no-see-ums to me.
Because we had a lot of those. Because you know when you, like, step on the grass and then you see a lot of bugs just kind of come from the grass? Do you ever do that? Like, I mean, I notice these things because I hate being outside.
Yeah.
So maybe that's it.
I wonder if anybody else has similar symptoms.
Well, we can go ahead and we can post the picture here, and if you have a clue to help us determine exactly what's eating.
I'm looking up the noceums, and
it's good. Did you think you
saw it? Well, in incredibly wet conditions.
Yes.
That's when, like mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Okay. They're very similar conditions.
617-931-1057. If you think you got the, you can check this out online. Okay, just the WRR.com.
Yeah, I know. It's incredible. I mean, I can't wear socks and boots that I had on today because the socks and boots, like, rub up against my skin, which makes it itchier. So I'm, like, dying right now. Calamine lotion, by the way, totally helps. Like, totally works. I didn't realize. I mean, all the newfangled stuff, just use the old pink stuff.
That does it, huh?
Yeah.
The old pink stuff.
There it is. The old pink stuff.
And more. 1057 WROR. Lauren and
Wally. Oh, my
sponsored
God.
By Horizon Interior.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes you just got too much money on your hands. And that's what this is all about. So everybody knows, you know who Odell Beckham Jr. is.
We're not related, unfortunately.
That's right. Okay, football player. He got traded from the New York Giants. He ends up with the Cleveland Browns. So he has bought himself a new little doodad to kind of celebrate. He has bought himself a brand new car, but not just any car, a Rolls Royce. Okay, Rolls Royce, good. But get this. He's had it custom painted Cleveland Browns colors.
Oh.
Now, the Cleveland Browns colors, it looks like a UPS truck got tagged by a bunch of Halloweeners because it's brown and orange is right. What it is. And then, the pretty disgusting color combination.
Yeah.
And then he has, you know, the hood, the legendary hood ornament they have on the big Rolls Royce cars, you know. He had a custom ornament of himself made, making that one-handed catch that he, you know, that everybody's seen a million times.
You know what? There's something so obnoxious about that I actually like it. I mean, you know this man is just trying to fill the void in his soul with these ugly cars. But I do like the fact that he changed the hood ornament to himself. That's like, awesome.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, athletes do have so much money, but they always spend it wisely.
They always do. They do. That's
brilliant. I hope he had it made with a lot of diamonds and gold because he's never going to win a Super Bowl ring.
That's probably very true, Hank. If you had unlimited funds like that, all of a sudden, boom, what's the one outlandish thing you would buy for yourself? What about you, LB?
Obviously people are like, oh, I buy a house and this and that, but if it was just like an outlandish, totally don't need it situation, I would buy one of like the jewelry that Lisa Vanderpump wears during the Bravo interviews in Real Housewives because it's like, it's amazing.
Over the top, right?
Yes, I love it.
Well,
then I could pick you up with a helicopter on my yacht.
You'd buy a yacht with a helicopter?
I would, with a pilot, of course.
Okay, Brian.
Wow. I've always, because you know when you're thinking about lottery stuff, my one like really crazy thing, it would be a car.
Yep. What car?
A Ford GT.
Really?
Yeah, I have it picked out actually at this place.
What color is it?
It's kind of baby blue and orange.
What's really? Is it a Hemi?
It's a $500,000.
Oh, $500,000. You know, so there's something when you say, man, I think I'm going to spend $500,000 on a car. What are you going to get? I'm going to afford. And people go, you got to be kidding me. Really? Seriously?
What would you buy, Lauren?
I don't have a clue.
You already bought it.
Lauren Wally Show. Mornings. Mornings. More variety. All day. And all night. 80s and more. 1057 WROR.
Okay, Hank, go ahead and deliver the information if you
will. It was a heartbreaker. Bruins lose 3-2 in overtime to the Blues last night at the Garden. Stanley Cup Finals tied at 1. Bruins had leads of 1-0 and 2-1 after goals from Whamless Charlie Coyle and Joachim Nordstrom in the first period. It was 2-2 after 1. Blues then, they dominated the rest of the game. Very physical. They beat up the Bruins. Yeah. Carl Gunnarsson scored the game winner, 3:51 into OT. The good thing was Tuukka Rask was spectacular again last night. So we got that going for us. Series switches to St. Louis for Games 3 Saturday night. Bruins, though, could be without Charlestown's Matt Grizzlick. Suffered a head injury. He was hit from behind. It was a dirty hit, too. Had to go to the hospital for tests. Meanwhile, Red Sox crushed again by Cleveland, speaking of which. And it sounds like a football score. They lost 14-9. Red Sox used 5 pitchers, most of whom you've never heard of. They face the Yankees in New York tonight. Chris Sale against Jay Happ. And the NBA Finals begin tonight in Toronto. The Raptors against the Warriors.
Thank you, Hank. 1057 WRR. Good morning. This is the Lauren Wally Morning Show. Coming up 7:10 this morning, right here on this program. How close is too close? Living near your parents.
Oh, I thought you meant standing next to me because it's too close.
Too close. Way too close.
80s and more. 105.7 WROR. This is the Lorne and Wally Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
So how close do you live to your parents, huh? Pretty close, you know, far away, something like that. So these researchers doing research on family dynamics, basically. And they asked 2,000 Americans, how close should you live to your parents? How close is too close?
I think it's never too close.
Never too close.
Well, my parents live 5 doors down.
5 doors down. Okay, so
ooh, that's sometimes too close. We drive there, though. No joke.
You're weird and lazy.
Wow.
5 doors down. It's great. I think, what are people saying?
The overwhelming majority said if you're within walking distance of your parents, if you live within walking distance of your parents, it's too close.
It's not. I totally disagree.
You disagree with that?
Well, for instance, I mean, if you don't have HBO and you want to watch something, okay, you can walk to your parents' house and watch it.
We'll do you get their Wi-Fi signal by
any
chance?
I know, I wish I did, actually.
Not that close.
That's too close to do that.
No,
really.
But like, I think it's totally convenient for a lot of reasons. First of all, I mean, if anything happens, I'm right there. If I run out of wine, they're right there. And that's happened. Like, I've had to call them during a party and said, I need A, B,
I need
C,
wine,
and D.
Really?
Yeah,
okay,
or no. Whatever. Babysitting. Like, the kids can walk back and forth to my house and, you know, to, like, my sister's kids. It's easy.
My family, my parents live 90 miles away.
90 miles.
Which is a little too far when their lawnmower breaks down and I have to bring mine up.
See?
Okay, I see.
I slept there last night. But the lawn looks awesome.
They say that the optimal distance to live from your parents is 15 to 45 minutes. So
really?
Yeah.
I think that's too far because what if, like, I don't know, maybe I'm an emergency situation person, but I'm always thinking if, like, somebody has an emergency in the middle of the night, who's going to come over and take care of the kids?
Well, that's probably very true.
And so, like, I mean, I'm not going to ask my neighbors because, you know, I mean, they're fine people, but
they're not your parents.
They're not my parents.
The closest I've ever lived to my parents is, like, 650 miles.
Wow.
So,
wow.
You know, during childbirth and things like that, that makes it a little bit of a struggle.
Yeah. Wow.
Yes. Yeah, that's tough. I mean, there was actually, like, this commercial on care.com about this, you know, pregnant person who calls the people that she hires her new family because her family's so far away, which is, like, I don't know. But I guess, well, Everybody Loves Raymond. It was the perfect scenario, I think, for me, even though his parents drove him crazy.
Oh, yeah?
But Ray Romano, the character.
They lived across the street from each
other,
didn't
right.
They?
And yeah. This is what he had to say about proximity and parents.
Here's the tri-state area. Now, here's where my mom and dad live. So anything within this circle is too close to my parents' house. Now, anything within this zone is going to be about a once-a-week visit. Okay? Now, here, farthest away, best zone, right? Wrong! Because if we move here and they visit, they become overnight guests.
Overnight
that's
guests.
That's true. Like,
okay.
That's, you know.
I understand.
And more. 105.7 WROR. This is the Lorne and Wally Show.
Welcome to another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine. As today's action-packed drama begins, Ephus Jr. comes home from school with some bad news about his report card. When we hear...
Well, little Ephus, your mother says you got an F in arithmetic. What happened?
Well, Pa, the teacher asked how much is 2 times 3. I said 6.
Well, that's the right answer.
And then she asked me how much is 3 times 2.
But what's the difference?
Well, that's the answer I gave.
Join us again soon for another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine.
Yeah?
Right here on the Lorne and Wally Morning Show.
And more. 105.7 WROR. This is the Lorne and Wally Show.
Okay, sports fans, this is it. This is what you've been waiting for. It's time for our weekly visit with Mr. Everything himself, Mr. Bob Ryan. Okay, yeah. we're bringing Bob in to make some sense out of the madness. Good morning, Bob. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Okay. It's the disappointing loss last night, but the Bruins had already won, what, like 8 in a row, so you know.
Look, any loss is quote-unquote disappointing, but now you have to take a deep breath, step back, and realize we're in a series. We're in a series against a team that's here for a good reason, and they simply outplayed the Bruins last night. Yes, the Bruins did have a couple of leads, but overall they were outshot 37-23. And they were a phrase that they often use in hockey about, do we have the jump? No, they really, even when they were up, they didn't really have the jump. They didn't have it the way they did in the first game. And so here we are. We have a series. And also having to play so much time without Grzelcyk, who was hurt, and we don't know how long he's going to be out, and they were shorthanded, going with five defensemen. And by the time we got to the overtime, boy, was that an or of inevitability from the moment they dropped the puck. Boy. The whole game was down in front of Rask, and you know sooner or later something bad would happen, and it did.
Hey, Bob, do you think something's wrong with Brad Marchand? He's not quite as aggressive. He's not shooting like he used to. You think that hand is bothering him?
I don't know what it is, but he was not himself last night, and boy, did he get called out by Mike Milbury on TV, I'll tell you that. Not in a vicious way, but in an analytical way. He just wasn't himself. He made a very fatal error on the one rush when he left his man. He should have, when he tried to, you know, he didn't fulfill his defensive duty and left the goalie exposed. And he wasn't, and then he had another giveaway that is very uncharacteristic. And he was not himself. I don't know if there's any physical reason, but I would expect him to play better from here on.
Do you feel comfortable with the balance of the series?
Yes, I still feel comfortable. I still there's no reason to change anything. I didn't expect a sweep at all. I just have too much respect for the Blues. And so I just think we settle down. We're going to have a good series. I still am confident that the Bruins will find a way to win. Now, if they don't have Grzelcyk, that is a problem. But let's be fair. They haven't made any big deal out of it on the other side, but they have a defenseman named Dunn who hasn't played, who is a very important player, who hasn't played, so you can't use that excuse.
Gotcha.
I'm enjoying the chippiness. It's like, it got off right off the bat yesterday. They were at each other.
It's old-fashioned, Ryan. It's definitely got that old, original six feel, and you know, people who love the game certainly appreciate that. So it has that feel, and I think it's going to continue to have that feel. They're a big, strong physical team. Their best, one of the things that they're going to hope they can do over the course of time is simply wear down the Bruins, because they have a whole bunch of guys who, by you know, any standard, are big and strong, and they're aggressive, and that's got to be the nature of their game.
How much of this is just like the David Backes factor? You know, they really seem to not like him anymore.
Yeah, well, I don't know. All that stuff is fun to talk about and write about, and it gives the media, and God knows I appreciate any tidbit and nugget that as a writer that you ever get to write about or a broadcaster to talk about. But, you know, in the end, he's just another player, I think, that happens to be now playing for the Bruins, and when he's playing at his game, you know, he's really important to this team. But I think that's a nice little, you know, twist on the currency, that's all.
Okay, could we shift gears and now go to the implosion of the bullpen?
It has been doing a good job, and then all of a sudden that was, the last two nights have been horrible. The game Tuesday night I couldn't believe it, because you know I just felt really good about it. It was 3-0. Everything was in good shape. Even at 3-2, then it goes 5-2, and then boom! It was awful. It was an excruciating, awful ninth inning. And then last night, Ryan Weber could not replicate the start he had in Toronto last week. And then of course the bullpen was terrible again, because everybody's going to be saying, you know, they should have signed Kimbrel, and I would have hoped and would have liked that they had signed Kimbrel back, but they didn't. And you can argue that they're paying the price now, but it's a concern, because Price, you know, buried in all this the last two nights, but Price was terrific the other night, and that's a very good sign, for the future and very an important thing. But these are, you know, the Indians came in here as second in the league, second to last in the league in runs scored, and hitting in the 220s of the team batting average. So to allow them to explode like this was very discouraging.
Hey, okay. Bob, they go to New York to face the Yankees tonight. They're down 7.5 games.
This has been so not even a blip on the radar screen, Hank, because we're so Bruin-centric right now, which is fair and it's obvious. But, yes, the Yankee series, which, you know, over the years has been so ballyhooed, people are going to wake up this morning and say, oh, my God, they're in New York. Yes, they're in New York for 4 days, and they're trailing the Yankees by 7 in the loss column. These are crucial. I mean, if they're going to really, you know, we've got to start thinking about this hole that they've dug. It's a big one. It's a big, massive hole, and the fact is that They're 8 in a loss, excuse me, and they need to win 3 out of 4 here, or else it's going to be, I won't say a wasted loss summer, but a very tedious one.
Okay. Now, just one last thing. Would you please mark this on your calendar for 2 weeks from today? That's June the 13th.
Yep.
And that's when we find out what Kyrie Irving is going
to
do.
Oh, my God, Kyrie Irving. Yes, it won't be interesting, of course. Don't even waste any time trying to think about it. Just wake up that morning and then, you know, just find out. And the answer is, yes, I do have a shameless plug.
Okay, good.
And the answer is that I'm on Around the Horn today at 5 p.m. on ESPN. And you get a bonus because the Sports Reporters podcast with Mitch Albom and Mike Lupica will be dropped this afternoon. So bountiful, plenty of chances for Bob Ryan today.
Okay, you have a great one. We'll talk to you next week.
Very good. Bye-bye.
You bet.
The Lorne and Wally Show. Mornings. More 80s. More variety. All day. And all night. 80s and more. 105.7 WROR.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Okay, the times are right.
Okay, you know what? You won't believe what LeBron James is obsessed with. But first, Ashton Kutcher takes the stand. Now, this is the strangest story, and I never heard of it. So, there is a murder trial going on about this serial killer in California. He killed 3 women. I mean, terrible story. Terrible is called the murderer next door or whatever. It was in February of 2001. Well, here's how Ashton got involved.
So, this is like 18 years ago.
Yep. So, the victim of one of his victims... Not Ashton's, the serial killer.
The serial killer, yeah.
Was supposed to go on a date with Ashton Kutcher that night. She was killed back in 2001. He thought she had stood him up, but she'd actually been stabbed to death in her home. So he took the stand. Her name was Ashley. She was 22. The night she was killed, she was supposed to go to, I think, like an MTV Awards with Ashton. He couldn't get a hold of her. So he showed up at her house, but she didn't answer the door. He tried to open it, but it was locked. And he looked through a window and saw what he thought were red wine stains on the carpet. He figured he'd been stood up and left. Obviously,
Whoa.
They were not red wine stains.
Whoa.
It was Ashley's blood. And the man on trial for her murder, Michael Gargiulo, something like that.
Michael.
Murderer next door, Michael, is also accused of killing 2 other women and attempting to murder a 4th. And plus, I think he may have killed his neighbor in Illinois. Anyway, terrible, terrible dude. And so Ashton took the witness stand. He admitted that he was nervous that he would be a suspect because his fingerprints were on the doorknob. But the attorney said he wasn't. So yeah, like that's totally, it's a tragic, tragic story. Poor girl, poor women. But yeah, so that's why we evolved. I really hated the mustache he was sporting.
He had a very strange mustache.
Yeah. He kind of looked like a murderer. I didn't like it. Yeah. All right. Tom Petty's daughter and wife are in a nasty dispute over his legacy. Apparently, his daughter, Adria, allegedly planned to cash in on her father's legacy by selling out and creating a Paul Newman-style range of Tom Petty salad dressing and other cheesy supermarket products. And his wife of 10 years before he died says no, that would be a horrible thing to do. That's not about his legacy, and they are in a courtroom battle. Ugh, that's kind of
all
sad.
Of Paul Newman's proceeds go to charity.
They do. Yeah. Yep.
His daughter says she won't back down.
Yeah.
See, that's why you're here, right? My God.
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay, LeBron James, what is he obsessed with? I mean, I don't know.
I give up. What is he?
Candles. He is obsessed with candles.
You're kidding.
Yes, a burning passion. He loves candles. He has an interview in GQ. He said they're one of his travel must-haves. He has to light a candle in his room for every road trip because it has to do it gets better. It has a lot to do with the energy of the universe. I'm very high on that. And he also just loves the smell of candles. Hotel rooms have a stagnant smell. His favorite, of course, candle, it's not a Yankee candle because that's, you know, not expensive enough. Diptyque is one of his favorite candle brands, and they are $70 a pop. His favorite one, though,
really,
is a large 5-wick indoor outdoor. The most expensive one is a large 5-wick indoor outdoor. That's $325. His favorite one costs $175, and it smells like Money. Irresistible freshness of bouquet of roses sweetened with black currant leaves.
Wow. That kind of explains the Motel 6 new campaign slogan. We'll leave the fire extinguisher on for you.
Oh, that's funny.
Maybe we can get Yankee Candle to come up with the smell of the Celtics locker room.
Although, you guys, Yankee Candle has a UMass Amherst candle.
Oh, boy.
It smells like
vomit and vodka.
And regret. No, it smells like smart people. It's a very really good school. Moby canceled his book tour after that whole Natalie Portman controversy. Whoa. He wrote in his new book that he dated Natalie Portman, and Natalie Portman clapped back and said, "No, we never dated. You were just a creepy older guy who made me feel uncomfortable." And then he tweeted out pictures of him with Natalie, but they all look creepy, and then he was completely, you know, eviscerated on the internet. So he said he's going to go away for a while, and all of the book tour has been canceled. Ouch. And Alex Trebek, good news.
This is great news.
Yes, his stage 4 pancreatic cancer, his tumors have shrunk 50%. He said it's kind of mind-boggling. The doctor said they hadn't seen this kind of positive result in their memory. He's still going through chemo. He's still got, still going through it. But he said it's nearing remission, and he thinks that all the positive energy from his fans is helping. Positive energy in the world. He should get a candle. He said, "I've got a lot of love out there headed in my direction and a lot of prayer, and I will never, ever minimize the value of that." I think that, you know what? I really do think that I think that there is some sort of power of prayer. I do. Like, I'm not into that sort of stuff, but I think if you just take a moment to, send positive energy towards somebody who's, not doing well, I think it can work.
A lot of healing goes with the mind.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
80s and more. 105.7 WROR. The Lauren and Wally Show. This is Grand in 60 Seconds.
Well, this should be a very interesting game of Win a Grand in 60 Seconds this morning, because our player is, he's in the advertising agency business.
He's an ad man.
Yes, an ad man. Okay, so, ladies and gentlemen, let's meet Justin Ribello, who is an ad man from Upton, Massachusetts. Good morning, Justin. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Great, thank you. So you're in the advertising agency business. So I would assume then that just like Mad Men, a lot of heavy drinking, carousing, affairs with wild women.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right.
Okay. Glad to hear it.
And that's just this morning.
That's right. So here's the deal. LBF has concocted 10 questions. Your job is to come up with 10 correct answers within a time frame of 60 seconds. Now, you can pass at any time. Don't pass on too many. You got to get them all in before the buzzer goes off. You ready to play?
I am ready to go.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, win a grand in 60 seconds.
Who is the president of the United States?
Donald Trump.
Choosy moms choose what kind of peanut butter?
Jeff.
Vaseline is the brand name of what?
Petroleum jelly.
Which team won Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Finals?
The St. Louis Blues.
True or false, burnout has been declared a disease?
True.
Ursula is a character in what Disney movie?
Little Mermaid.
What giant did David defeat in the Bible?
Goliath.
In what sport is the word loved used?
Tennis.
What fruit fell on Sir Isaac Newton?
Apple.
Who sings the song Poker Face?
Lady Gaga.
Oh!
Yes.
We have a winner. Wow.
Congratulations. $1,000 in cash from Century Bank is coming to you.
Wow.
That is absolutely fantastic. You were dominant in the game today.
I had a good feeling. I'm excited. That's awesome.
Especially when you hit things like petroleum jelly and stuff like that. I thought he's in the ad business.
Yeah, he might know about that, but good job.
Oh,
he was calm,
thank you so much.
Going through the whole thing, didn't pause too long. Wow. Mm-hmm. I hope they pay you enough money.
I do.
Okay, I thought Fig Newton was a fruit, actually.
Hey, congratulations.
Oh, that's awesome.
Thank you so much.
Hey, well, thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for playing. I want you to have you. Well, it's a better day for you already, isn't it?
Right. I'm so glad to get it.
It's a great start.
Okay, when you see Justin Ribello today, say, "Hey, could I borrow $5? Because he's got it now. Justin, have a terrific day, okay?
Thank you. You too.
You bet. Everybody else, it can happen to you as well. But you can't win if you don't play. And you can't play if you don't register. Log on to WRR.com, fill out a registration form, and you could be the next person to win $1,000 from Century Bank.
80s and more. 105.7 WROR. This is the Lorne and Wally Show.
So how many times a day do you check your phone? You ever tried to keep track of it?
I think there's an app that tells you how many times you pick up your phone, but I don't want anything to do with that. I pick up my phone, it's like a tick almost. You know, it's like, I don't know. I think it's because I want to be popular, and every time I pick it up, I think maybe someone's texting me, and then no one texts me, and I'm like, I'm irrelevant. It's kind of the most depressing relationship I've ever had.
It's kind of interesting because it's kind of like an addiction thing because there are certain trigger points that makes you pick up your phone.
So the average amount of times people pick up their phone a day, 80. 80 times
that
you pick up
about
your
right.
phone.
Wow.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
80?
Like when you think about when you picked up a regular phone, I know that's a little crazy to think about, like a landline.
Let's go way back out.
But you like,
you know,
I mean,
school.
Maybe six times a day, unless you were working at a, you know,
if you're
as
a telemarketer, that's
your
duty, the Time Life operator.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I was a PBX operator at a hotel once. I picked up the phone constantly.
I'm a director call.
Yep.
I just bought a rotary phone at Goodwill the other day.
But so, that's 80 times a day, that's once every 12 minutes you're awake. So the triggers, though. Because I find that there are certain things that make me pick up my phone.
Just saying the word phone makes me want to look at my phone.
But for sure, unoccupied moments. Like when you're standing.
When you're bored.
Yeah, when you're standing in line at the bank or if you're like, you know, I don't know.
You see somebody coming toward you you don't want to talk to.
Okay, you are a misanthrope, but that's okay.
No, you pick up your phone and you.
He always seems to be on the phone.
Yeah, exactly. Whenever I walk in, he's on his phone. That's
amazing. What a coincidence.
You sort of use it to avoid boredom. Okay. Sometimes when you're doing something that's boring, like working, you're like working on a paper or you're just doing something that's tedious.
Smartphones have changed everything all about us because I picked up my phone at midnight, a little after midnight last night.
That's crazy.
I woke up from a sound sleep because I'd fallen asleep before the Bruins game ended. I wanted to know, what's going on.
So I had to know.
You know?
I had to yell at my dad last night. The Bruins were on a power play. He picked up his phone. He's a Bruins nut, but he was addicted to the story he was reading. It was weird.
Oh, my God. So, all right. So, tedious tasks like that, it's an excuse to take a break. And then when you're anticipating a message or notification. Now, this is just like when you're in high school and some guy said he was going to call or girl or whatever. And you're just constantly looking at your phone to see if they text you back. Whenever you're like fighting with your spouse, I'm always about to pick up my phone. I mean, like, did he text me back? He better text me back. Even if I'm mad. It's so weird. The phone is so weird. And then, finally, socially awkward situations. Like when you're waiting for friends at a bar or at a restaurant.
Yeah, I totally
do that. I almost want to test myself to see if I could sit someplace waiting for somebody and not use my phone. Like, I think I would be so uncomfortable that I would just...
You'd leave.
Okay. Hey, why don't you go out in the hall for a while and try that? 80s
and more. 57WROR. This is the Lorne and Wiley Show.
Okay, coming up next here in the Lorne and Wiley Morning Radio Program, we're going to play a little game. Hey, what's that sound? Okay, listen very carefully.
Okay.
See if you think you can identify this sound. Okay, you ready?
Like my college roommate.
Wow. If you think you could identify that sound, give us a call. 617-931-1057.
Okay.
80s and more. 1057 WROR. This is the Lorne and Wiley Show.
Well, good morning, thrill seekers, and welcome to What's That Noise? Listen carefully. Do you think you could identify this noise?
Oh, boy.
This one you thought it was safe.
Wow.
Okay.
It sounds like two toddlers fighting over a fire truck.
It does.
I think that's what it reminds me of.
It's the noise I make when I've been asked a question over and over and over and over again by my daughter.
I hear you. I know exactly what you mean.
I'm like,
one of those, are we there yet kind of things? Yeah. Okay, well, hang on. Okay, so, Dick, what's that noise?
It's cockfighting.
Well, you're kind of in the ballpark, but not quite there. Thanks for calling, okay?
Okay, bye.
What do you think it is?
I think it's goats.
Goats?
Goats?
Yeah?
Not even close.
Really?
Okay,
hi.
But thanks for calling.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
What do you think it is?
I think it's from the Goonies.
Okay. Very good guess.
Excellent guess, but not correct. Thanks for calling. Have a great day, okay?
Yep.
Okay, what do you think it is?
I think it's a cat underneath a house looking for another cat.
You know, that's
close.
Very interesting.
But not on the nose.
You're kind of in the ballpark, but not there. Thanks for calling, though, okay? Have a great day.
Okay.
So what do you think it is?
Yes, it's two bobcats.
How did you know that?
I have a fiance that loves animals, and every time there's something online, she shows me. So.
I thought you were going to say she makes those funny noises. Like
okay.
She does too once in a while.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling. Say hi to her fiance for us, okay?
Thank you.
80s and more. 1057 WROR. This is the Lorne and Wally Show.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Lorne and Wally Morning Radio Program. You know, I was kind of worried about Hank this morning because when he got here, he was really, really kind of depressed and everything because he went all the way up to Maine so he could watch the Bruins game with his dad last night.
That's nice.
I was feeling so good about the game.
And then he comes down, he has to get up like extra early this morning, drive all the way down from Maine just to, be on the show here. And he was really kind of depressed because of the loss last night.
Staying up late for a loss is tough.
Yeah, oh, it's hard.
So, but we're here to help this morning, Hank, because you shouldn't be discouraged. We won 8 out of the last 9 games. We're going out to St. Louis. We play Saturday night. I think we're going to be fine. Maybe we can just take both of them out there, come back and wrap it up at home.
Oh, that's
fifth
game. Good point.
Okay,
and, I'll take Stanley Cup in 5.
Okay, we can do it. So let's sing about it here. We really want the cup. So this is for you.
We're no strangers to big games. Bruins are the best on the ice. And we won't quit until we win the cup. It's been a while, man. Now it's Boston's time. All of the Bruins fans are screaming. They're jumping out the stands. We want to win that cup. Gonna kick that butt. The Stanley Cup belongs to the Bruins. We're gonna make the Blues cry. And we're gonna wave bye-bye. Gonna race the cup high. In Boston.
Oh,
yeah.
Rick roll.
Yeah. I think you might recognize that, of course, is Lord Rick Stanley.
Right. Morning. More 80s. More variety. All day. And all night. 80s. More. 105.7 WROR.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.